Southeast leaders search for ways to grow the region's economy, and students get introduced to new tools in the classroom. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. In our last newscast, we told you about recent heli-skiing happenings at the Haynesboro. This week, Borough Manager Mark Ernest allotted skier days to local heli-skiing companies for the 2013 season. Sean Brownell of Alaska Heli-Skiing said in an email on Tuesday his company was planning on appealing Ernest's decision to give the company 350 fewer skier days than requested. But on Wednesday, another owner of the company, Vicki Gardner, said after more consideration, the company has decided not to appeal the allocations. She said it was a hit to the company to receive fewer days than requested and fewer than the company had had in the past years. And the reduced allocations may affect the company's bookings this season. But she said the owners decided to concentrate on its season rather than appeal. Alaska Heli-Skiing was allotted more days than either Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures or Alaska Mountain Guides, but they also requested more days than either of those companies. Haynesboro Code establishes a maximum of 2,600 skier days during the February through April season. A skier day means one individual participating in a commercial ski tour, so normally a heli-skiing company will use several skier days in a single day to account for several customers. This year, the three local companies' combined request for skier days totaled 2,850, more than the 2,600 maximum. It's up to Borough Manager Mark Ernest to divvy up the skier days among the three local companies once their permits are renewed by Borough Clerk Julie Causey. Ernest wrote in a memo about the allocations that he gave Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures 1,000 days and Alaska Mountain Guides 450 days, the amount both companies requested. He allocated Alaska Heli-Skiing the remainder of the days, or 1,050, and 350 fewer days than it requested. It's also fewer days than the company was allotted in 2011 or 2012. Ernest wrote the reduction of Alaska Heli-Skiing days is based on Causey's findings last week regarding the company's safety record. Causey approved the company's permit renewal despite finding the company violated about six permit and state law requirements. Alaska Heli-Skiing has been under scrutiny since an avalanche killed a company guide and customer last March. The customer's family has persistently been alleging the company violated several safety standards in response to the avalanche. Some of those allegations were substantiated by Causey in the permit renewal process, but others weren't. Causey's permit renewal is contingent on the company securing the necessary state permits for the 2013 season, something the company did not have for the past several years. The borough holds 100 skier days in reserve for the companies to apply for until the end of the season, and based on commitments from clients, although Ernest emphasizes there is no guarantee that any company will be allotted those extra days. Haynes Elementary and Middle School students are expanding their technological prowess with the recent arrival of iPads in the classrooms. It's been on the school's horizon for a while to bring iPads into the elementary and middle school, said Sam McFeeters, technology coordinator for the Haynes School District. And it's far from a new concept in schools. According to the Association of Alaska School Boards, more than 600 districts across the country have implemented iPads as classroom tools, including many in Alaska. Haynes School Superintendent Michael Beyer said bringing iPads into the school is part of the district's strategic plan to integrate technology into the classroom. The school purchased 70 iPads, which comes out to about one iPad for every two elementary and middle school students. McFeeder says he worked with schools in Kodiak, Petersburg, and Juneau to research the launch of the iPads. He said there's a plethora of research and resources for schools bringing the new tools into the classroom.
We've been looking at this for quite a while, and we've been researching it, and been working with entities across the state on how they've been doing their iPad implementation, and we started finding out the research on how student achievement improves with the use of iPads kind of as a supplemental learning device.
McFeeters works with teachers to find applications to install on the iPads that will complement lesson plans. The iPads are connected to a single server that allows McFeeters to easily upload and control what apps are available to students. And these apps may look different than what iPad users are used to. For example, the popular game Angry Birds won't be available to students, McPheeter said.
An iPad is an instant learning device. You open it up, it's on. We're able to install just specific learning apps so that the students are focused on certain areas. You know, we've been researching what applications would work best. The staff has contributed a list that we went through and figured out what we could download now and then build up our app supply.
Last week, students in Mrs. Bredauer's sixth grade class were about a week into their studies with the new iPads and using them in several subjects. But they were also preparing to help teach kindergartners about iPads. The sixth graders showed the kindergartners in Mrs. June Dagan's class how to turn on the iPads, maneuver through applications, and how to use an app called Puppet Pals, where students create characters and scenes to develop a story.
So what does that button do again?
You press to record, and then you could, like, say you press this button, and you could start talking and acting.
Mrs. Bredauer is a fan of the iPads for her students and has implemented them in several areas of study. She said they allow more mobility and creativity than laptop computers.
And so just what they can do with their iPad on the go with video, taking pictures and editing those pictures is pretty amazing. And I think that's what, there's a lot more freedom than with the laptop. Freedom to be creative. And then there's, you know, just very focused activities with the apps. But I think the apps are just a tiny part of it. It's those productivity tools.
McPheeter said high school students may eventually also have iPads, but right now the school has a one-to-one ratio of computers for high school students. A Pacific Northwest development expert says Southeast leaders are on the right track toward improving the region's economy. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports from this week's 2013 Innovation Summit at Juneau's Centennial Hall.
A large group of Southeast business, government, and other leaders have spent the past 2 years searching for ways to grow the region's economy. They've formed what are called clusters, each focusing on a particular industry or group of connected businesses. The four areas are ocean products, renewable energy, mining service and supply, and visitor products.
If that list were to expand, I think it would really tax the resources of both the, you know, the organizations that are helping companies as well as the companies themselves.
Patrick Quinton is executive director of the Portland Development Commission. He addressed cluster initiative members at the Southeast Innovation Summit organized by the Juneau Economic Development Council. Quinton's organization used the cluster process to develop the Portland area's clean technology, outdoor recreation products, software, and advanced manufacturing industries.
This is a very long-term process. I mean, fundamentally, you're talking about changing the nature of the economy. You're talking about diversifying the economy. So those changes take a long time.
Southeast's initiative began a little more than 2 years ago. Quinton says it's made good progress so far. Those involved have engaged industry and government agencies that can help.
In a few years, you would want to see how successful are you in executing the plans that have been laid out. So if you have two or three initiatives, what kind of progress are you seeing there? And I would imagine 3 or 4 years out, you'd want to see some actual change in the job numbers and the economic output.
He says he doesn't know enough about the region to predict what will work best, but he's intrigued by the mining service and supply focus.
Import substitution is the more technical term, but how do we replace services that are being provided from distant places with more local services? And Juneau seems to be well positioned to be the more local provider of those services.
He says cluster process leaders have to make hard decisions, and it's not a democratic process. Otherwise, he says, the effort will lose focus. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
In basketball, the Glacier Bear girls team split Tuesday night's games against Wrangell. The JV team lost 22-29. The varsity team won 42-22. The score was 13-13 at halftime, but the Glacier Bears then exploded for 19 points in the third quarter to take a 32-19 lead on their way to doubling up on the Wolves. This was senior night for Haynes, and all four seniors scored. Riley Erickson had 16 points, Jess Giddings with 10, Alicia Young had 4, and Carly Spud 3. Erickson went 9 for 10 from the foul line. The girls travel this weekend to take on Metlakatla, while the boys host Metlakatla at home. Also happening this weekend at the Haynes High School is the Dick Hotch Tournament. Skagway is planning on traveling to the Toke Tournament this weekend. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld and Krista Kilsmeyer for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website for guidelines at khns.org under Community. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS commentary.